Welcome back, Red Eyes members. Thank you very much for joining us. We are continuing our conversation with Sandy Frost about non-profit organizations, the Shriners, and specifically about the Royal Order of Jesters. And I do want to begin to talk a little bit about, I guess, the flow of your investigations, Sandy. You mentioned to me in the break here a little bit about, I guess, the power of intuition and how your work seemed to have been very intuitively guided in that sense. Tell us a little bit about this. It's very interesting, and it always adds another dimension to a discussion like this.
Right. I have been investigating nonprofit groups for 6 years. I first began by I actually began reporting online in 2001 by covering the field of remote viewing, which, as you know, was began in the United States through an Army program during the Cold War. It had been rumored, and the CIA was dealing with information that the Soviets were using mind control and psychic means for psychic spying, so the United States started their group. And I heard about it in 96, became interested, and in fact, there's a Torbjörn Sasserson there in Sweden. He's probably your RV guy, and he might be very interesting to interview also.
We've actually had him on the show. I know Torbjörn very well, so he might even be tuning in. So if he's listening, hi Torbjörn, nice to have you along. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love him. He is great. In fact, I have an RV book that will also be coming out, and one of it is called funny emails, and we were sending emails back and forth, and he was telling me how things were how I something would be said in Swedish, and oh my gosh, it's kind of X-rated, but it's going to be part of my book.
Right, there you go.
So I began covering this field of remote viewing, and in a newsletter, the International Remote Viewing Association was begging for money, and I thought, well, this is weird because these guys were funded by the CIA for 20 years. Why are they begging for money? So I asked them for their documents, and I said, you know, hey, I'd like to help. Let me see your minutes. And they said no. And I thought, what? And so that is how I began learning about all this nonprofit stuff. And so the day after my first article came out, the vice president, Paul H. Smith, released some personal information online that endangered me. And it was on, and I learned to toughen up and get tough real quick because these guys came after me, and I learned how a nonprofit group works. And essentially, what I found is that I think that they didn't want me digging because he had run the conferences in the red for 3 years. And he had a book coming out and didn't want this bad information to come out about him. So after 3 years, they became compliant. And I sat here going, why in the hell did I learn about all this nonprofit stuff? And a month later, I was contacted by Shriner whistleblower Vernon Hill, he had been looking for a journalist for about 2 years. Nobody would touch the Shriner investigation. And I said, well, I will. Sounds interesting to me. And I checked them out, and I checked out their information because they had been, he'd been working with an IRS, former IRS agent, Paul Dolnier, and they had been doing analysis of tax returns for some of the Shriner temples. Now, I didn't just start this. The Orlando Sentinel had investigated the Shriners 20 years previous. And over here, there's a columnist named Ann Landers, and she wrote how shocked she was because the investigation found that like 2% of all the money raised by the Shriner circuses actually went to the hospitals. And this was 20 years ago. So I just picked up on the trail that they left.
That's interesting. So again, a lot of money that is being raised, it's being funneled to other purposes, and it isn't going to the charitable organizations.
Right. In fact, the New York Times wrote about that. And there was an internal investigation the Shriners had into corruption because one of the really bad things that happened after this internal investigation became public is two top Shriner leaders, Ralph Sem and June Bracewell, both of whom are jesters, were lobbying to recontract with a fundraiser, Vantage Direct Marketing, and Vantage had raised $47 million on behalf of the burned and crippled children but kept 43 of it.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. It's called, on my website, there's an article, Shriner, Internal Shriner Investigation Confirms Corruption. And so, you know, this is, again, this is the mindset of these jesters who seems to have worked their way up, or they're at the top of the Shriners, and they, their minds are not on the best practices of business management, you know, and it's mind-boggling,
yeah.
You know, because these guys are standing in back of burned and crippled children, and they're using all these good-hearted other Shriners, these grandfathers, these elder men who are in their 60s, 70s, Mud Herring in his 90s, who are working hard, and they believe they are helping the poor, burdened, and crippled children, and yet they're being used by some as a front that they're just a bunch of do-gooders, when in fact they're running this little prostitution network, or, you know.
The strange thing here, then, is that one thing would think that the jesters, for instance, themselves would be happy that this is coming to the surface so that this can be exposed and they can root out the problem, because again, this isn't what it was set up to be at the beginning, or, you know, so it's very strange, isn't it?
Well, I think that the Shriners are going to be happy because the jesters are the problem. I don't think that there's really much good that the jesters do.
I think that they're
just a party club. Right.
See what you mean.
Right. And so for those good Shriners who work so very hard, and in fact, they're having their annual conference over July 4th in San Antonio, Texas. At the same time, of course, the jesters are going to meet there. And the unfortunate thing about this entire situation is that there is a tipping point between public benefit of helping the little kids, of giving these older retirees something really good and happy to do, and the prosecutions and investigations by the FBI, you know, the ICE people, which is Immigration and Customs. You know, at what point do they cancel each other out?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that from what we said the hour before, I believe that what needs to happen is the IRS needs to launch a forensic investigation into the Royal Order of Jesters, if they've not done that already, and I do not know for sure, and actually go through the books, see where the money goes, get the credit card receipts, and track all the accounting. And then once that is done, I believe that they'd have enough evidence to suspend their nonprofit status. And I really think that needs to happen.
And again, this is in one sense fresh off the presses. There will be announcements made by this probably throughout the coming week here, and then we'll see what happens, right?
Yes. And that would be in regard to the indictments out of Brazil of Richard Scherer, who is the owner of a fishing tour company who took jesters fishing in Brazil, and they were called as witnesses in a federal defamation lawsuit to testify about their firsthand of drug use and sex with minors while on fishing trips in Brazil. And some of those little girls actually did go to the Brazilian federal police, talked about how they were lured off their Indian reservations, told that they would be hired to cook and clean, and when they got to the fishing boats, found these North American tourists and were told to drink whiskey and have sex with these guys, some girls as young as 13.
It's so horrible. And I want to also backtrack a little bit, Sandy, and ask you a little bit more about the field of remote viewing, because I guess you were at the time associated with the remote viewing groups. You were interested in this as a genuine field of study, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Me being ex-military and me being an intuitive, I thought, wow, this is a neat combination of things that I can really relate to. And I went to my first remote viewing conference in 2001 and stood in the hall and stood there and went, nobody's writing about this stuff. And so I started to write about this stuff for a website called sweet101.com. And after I began investigating IRVA for the nonprofit claims, my work was censored offline, and then I became the target of a hate site that mocked my Native American heritage, and by making fun of one of my animal spirits, which is wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could talk about my animal spirits and that actual side of it, because Just because anybody is different doesn't mean that they're wrong.
That's right.
And so I come at this from a very different cultural standpoint. And I can credit my animal spirits. Wolf is my primary, but then we have badger. I have two badger pelts. And so, little badgers dig. Mm-hmm. And then when we were in Southern Oregon, I discovered so.
So we just got cut off there from Skype, but Sandy, you were just telling me when you first got involved with the remote viewing, this group, and how people there basically started to make fun of your culture background and some of the spirit animals that you relate to, isn't that right?
Yes, yes. My primary spirit is wolf, and I'm very open, and I will discuss this and write about these things because it's part of who I am. And so... The other animals are badger, as I said, and beaver. So I dig 24/7. And then a holy man bestowed on me white eagle feather medicine and bestowed upon me a protective spirit of wolverine. So that's quite a picture.
Interesting.
And,
yeah. And do you feel that this, in that sense, has helped you in your investigations in regards to what these animals also represent, like the digger, for instance, if we talk about the badger or the beaver, right?
Sure. And it goes back to balance, because when I first started this, the Shriner investigation, I would work 16, 18 hours a day. The research is, as you know, with your own work.
Yes.
Before you even contacted me for this interview, I'm sure you did days of research reading my stuff. Who is this person? Do we really want to talk to her? And so the research is unimaginable. I live my life in a strange way. I pay attention to synchronicity. Mm-hmm. And if things are effortless, then I know that I'm doing the right thing. And in many aspects, this investigation into especially the Royal Order of Jesters has at times been effortless in terms of access to documentation. We can sit and it can be very interesting, and we can talk about how the Brazilian fishing guide talked about how they used anal beads and and how they smoked pot, all this other kind of stuff. But yeah, the bottom line is it comes down to the documents. And so when I need stumbling upon, for example, that FBI application for arrest warrants in the case of Len Hua Chong, I stumbled on that by accident. And I read it, and that is where I found the wiretap conversations of the judge and the retired police captain. In fact, when it comes to the human trafficking aspect, at one point, according to this FBI application, the judge was telling Len Hua Chong that the girls, they were discussing how the girls were going to New York City and getting arrested, and then they were not illegal aliens anymore. These women who were being trafficked were from China mostly, and they came to the United States with the hope of living a different life. Right. This is not an indictment on China or Asia in any way. But people, the good and the bad of America is anyone can live their dream. The bad is sometimes the dreams turn into nightmares.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And one of the nightmares that you and I are discussing right now is the human trafficking aspect of this investigation into the Royal Order of Jesters. And so imagine, your sister or mom or dad wanting to go to another country, and when they get there, they get into this little pipeline and they go from place to place, kind of like how the slaves went from the South to the North in the American Civil War, and they end up in a place where they can work. Well, so 9 of these illegal Asian illegal immigrant women ended up in the employment of Len Hua Chong, this woman who ran the 4 massage parlors, with and the patrons included these jesters. So then not only would these jesters go and pay $40 And this isn't like Elliot Spitzer stuff. These guys paid $40. And the prostitutes only got $5.
Really?
Yes. And so, you know, ooh.
Yeah.
This is like looking at the floor of a licking the floor of a bar or something. It's just like, oh my God, so icky.
Yeah.
And they claim to be all these high, you know, I'm this and I'm that, I'm a police, I'm an attorney, I'm a judge, all these things. And then they just do this nasty stuff. And again, when we spoke before, I do attribute some of these behaviors to the alcohol abuse.
Yeah, that's right. You think something else if we talk about, because again, you come from a background in regards to being in touch with a spirit world, a spiritual world, because we've actually had programs before. We elaborate a little bit about this on and in regards to alcohol, that you actually can become what seems to be for some people almost like possessed by this stuff as well. They get so intoxicated that it's almost like something else comes into their body and taking things over, like a demon or something. What do you think?
Sure. It could be that, or when people are drunk, they can kill. They do the most horrific things. And when you look at so many of the crimes, they are drug and alcohol related. And in the case of these older gentlemen, you know, they're not going to be crackheads. They're not going to be using the meth or these other, you know, drugs. They're just going to be drunks. And so when you get a bunch of drunk old men together, this is what some of them do. And some of them get off on the addiction. It's also an addiction to politics. These guys are political junkies, the game playing. You know, you and I discussed previously how you would not become a member of a group, and that's not for you. Well, me neither. I am actually kind of a lone wolf, and I'm not a joiner. Mm. When I was a little girl, my parents were divorced, and I'd see my dad on the weekends, and he was really smart. He's since passed away from a stroke. But one of the things he did is we would read books. And imagine this. He made me read books like Robert Ardrey's Territorial Imperative, On Aggression by Conrad Lorenz, Lord of the Flies, and Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And so what Dad did with me when on our weekend, I'd be in the garden and we'd be building stuff and we would talk about these books. And Dad taught me about pack mentality, kind of like this lemming-like behavior that we're seeing of these individuals who follow the leader at any cost. And now that they're caught, you know, we see a failure in their system is actually what we're seeing, because their Masonic brothers can no longer protect them. And so what, you know, my big ultimate question here is, what kind of group exerts so much peer pressure and so much influence that you have officers of the court and those sworn to protect and serve not only breaking the law, but committing these crimes of human trafficking, facilitating sex slavery? You know, now we're looking at the child sex tourism and possibly the pedophilia out of Brazil.
Yeah.
What group makes these guys think that they can do these things and their brothers are going to protect them? This is what we've got. So that means that there are jesters probably in the FBI. I think that the Erie Police Department, there's going to be such huge fallout from this, because as Rob Mascotti, the U.S. attorney in charge of this, he told me, he said, Sandy, we're going to follow this wherever it goes. Mm-hmm. And I hope he was telling me the truth, and that it's not going to be stalled out or circumvented, you know, because this is huge. This is absolutely huge.
Is that a possibility, you think? Because again, I've heard that, and this is the case in Britain as well, as Martin Short, that was the name I was going to mention the first hour before the entire name. He brought out this idea that a lot of judges and attorneys and whatnot are also members of various Masonic organizations and so forth. And could that be a danger here as well? That some of these people actually have allegiances that we might not know about beforehand?
Well, you know, what we're going to talk about now is kind of woo-woo, but I think I can talk to you about this, and I think you're going to get it. I think we're seeing an evolution in human consciousness here.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think that this ADD phenomenon, I've been diagnosed with that, and that's probably one of the things that makes me so successful in my work, is because my brain is like a centrifuge with all these different levels. It's like a frog in the blender, but the frog lives. My brain, I drink tons of coffee. I mean, I have ADD very bad, and my brain frequency was measured, but I clock higher. Okay, it's like a CPU. You know, and some of us are clocking higher and faster because our consciousness is evolving. And I think what we're seeing is the shakeout of that, which is not part of this evolution. That these individuals, don't fit in. They have this archaic animalistic mindset of what's mine is mine and what is yours is mine in terms of, territorialism. I want this land. I'm going to take it. I'm going to kill you if it's your land. I don't care. These older jesters, wanting, sex with these, illegal alien prostitutes and girls in Brazil. You know, that's not healthy. And I believe that that is not conducive to, the evolution of human consciousness. And it's just something that has to go away.
Do you also feel then that this information wants to get out in that sense, that it's time for a lot of these the old structures and old systems to crumble and fall apart, because it's not how should I put it, no longer in the in the moral correct line where we need to be going at this point,
and
the old mindset, as you're talking about here, of territorialism and have been a part of human society for such a long time now, you know, how long can we go back? Like 2 millennia now,
sure.
Right? You know, 2,000 years,
sure.
If not even more. But something else is going on here now then. And what do you think that means? Do you think that we will go to a more peaceful society eventually, but during this time when all this dirt is coming to the surface, it's going to actually look more ugly in a way, at the beginning at least? What do you think?
Exactly. You are exactly right. And when we talk about the evolution of human consciousness and psychic ability and intuition, because I am an intuitive, this has been effortless in a great way, almost as if it was meant to happen. I consider this a gift. And I don't make, last year I made $800 from doing this. I don't make much money, doing this. And hopefully my book will sell when I get my narrative done. I hope it will sell greatly, because these behaviors that are not healthy, that are so dysfunctional, are not part of our evolution. And when we talk about these things, these gifts, these extrasensory perceptions, again, you know, I have a background in advanced electronics and physics, and I believe anything woo-woo and paranormal can be explained in terms of frequency, polarity, vibration, and magnetics. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that we exist. It doesn't exist.
That's right.
And so if we're clocking to higher frequencies, of course, our brains are going to be different with the evolution of the internet and you and I talking and reaching now a global audience to help raise the consciousness of these issues. You know, I think that we're doing a lot to help heal these dysfunctional behaviors. And hopefully, as I said, through Judge Till's apparently being forced to consider the alcohol rehab and the testing and things, you know, people with these challenges can heal. And I wrote on my blog how much compassion I have for him. And I wrote, he can be like a phoenix rising from the ashes, encouraging these other masons, who are doing things that are contrary to their nature and to their vows, that they can come together and clean things up. I believe the basic tenets of masonry are great. Who can argue against brotherly love, you know, and making good men better? I think that's fabulous. But let's keep to that and not become sidetracked and turn into drunken political junkies who are doing this kind of crap.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, again, I was just reminded here quickly about the another article that was from the Daily Mail the other day by a writer called David Jones, who also wrote about, especially in, I think in Leeds, but again, he also talked about child torture, basically, and kind of an investigation into everything from sexual humiliation to violence against children, and that this is the type of mentality that just, well, the cycle of abuse that I mentioned before, that this actually keeps on going. And so a lot of these kids, when they're younger, they're being drawn into this, if you will. They're being subjected to violent or even sexual acts. And in one sense, that's potentially what is just passing on down the line. And what is needed at this point is, of course, to begin to break this cycle, you know, begin to step in and do healing at a proper point. So it isn't just continued. And I say that is a big part of this, and which means, of course, that we have to recognize it and have to look at it. And it's very ugly, and many people are they're turned off by it, obviously, and they don't want to look at it. But that's actually also a part of the problem. What do you think, Sandra?
Right. Well, number one, yes, this story has been subject to a huge media blackout other than the Buffalo News and maybe an article or two in the New York Times, and that's it. This is the greatest story never told. It's also interesting that you are addressing the abuse issues because as we have the cultural evolutions, what we may also be seeing are cultural clashes here. But I write so passionately, and I have been at this for so long, and it has had a toll on me. I will share with you that I was abused as a child by a half-breed mom who liked to get drunk and beat me.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I'm sorry
to
hear that.
And so, and you know, then I became an alcoholic and all this other stuff. But you know what? I have hope because I've broken the cycle. My kids love me. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm a great mom. And I'm working very hard to be balanced and healthy as things are happening around me. And mostly, when it comes to the spiritual aspect of my work, my greatest healing and love and passion does come from my spiritual practice. Mm. Because that is where the healing comes from. And if we do talk about masonry and shrinedom and these other things, there is an opportunity for spiritual evolution here. And I really hope that that happens. For example, when I found out that the fishing tour operator had been indicted in Brazil, I didn't do the happy dance. There's times, I'll tell you, there's times when I talk to somebody on the phone or something happens, I'll get up and I'll actually do the happy dance.
Try to break it,
you know? Yeah, you know, just woohoo, something really great happened.
Sure.
But this time, I did not. Mm. I grabbed my sage and my eagle feather fan, and I smudged because this is a point of real reality here. This is a game changer. And for me to continue in my work, as I have the past 3 years in this, believe it or not, and I know it's weird to be talking about a journalist about their journalism and talking about intuition and spirituality, but that's how I do it.
Well, I think it's a great topic to add into it because, again, I think that this is the reality of how things are, and the more people who recognize this and start accessing the knowledge of the spiritual reality of our world is actually going to do a much better job at it. And again, I think that the reason why we have such an unbalanced world, at least in the Western world, and a lot of the influences the Western world have given to other parts of the world at this point, is because we've been too only one-sided, if you know what I mean. We've turned away from the spiritual aspects and become too scientific. And I think that actually in the long run helps to in one way generate that type of mentality. I'm generalizing, obviously, but I think you understand what I'm saying here.
Oh, sure. You know, like with the remote viewing thing, the big push is for scientific validation and all of these things, and to quantify and create metrics to develop something that I think is a natural human ability.
Yeah.
You know, the Native American chiefs and medicine people have been using the gift of farsight for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And in fact, my Native American name means far-sighted woman.
Hmm.
So, you know, again, when the one thing I do when the journalists do begin to cover this, because this has been, I believe, subject of a huge media blackout except for you, and I just cannot express to you how grateful I am that you get it, and that you're not scared, and that you're not controlled or intimidated by these guys.
That's right. Thanks, Sandy.
Well, it's you're breaking a huge, huge, huge story here.
And I think, I mean, your name was mentioned at the end of the Buffalo News story as well, wasn't it? So they're beginning to go into it a little bit. But have you been contacted by anyone else about your investigations?
No.
Nothing so far, huh?
No. Hmm. No. No. And I've pitched this.
Yeah.
I pitched it to ProPublica. I pitched it to Huffington Post. I've pitched it all over. Nothing. And so I have always thought that this would break out of Europe because of European investigations into the negative influence of Freemasonry and the influence peddling that they seem to do, which is negative. Mm. And so I'd like to be able to probably come over maybe this winter after my narrative is done and go on book tour over there and talk and maybe come up and say hi.
Absolutely. Yeah, would love to have you. How's the book coming along, by the way? Do you know when it will be out? Or
I hope it
place?
Will be out in September. Mm-hmm. And this is why. This is, again, this comes down to kind of the synchronicity, and there's so much synchronicity at this very point with, you know, the indictment in Brazil, the sentencing of John Trowbridge, your interview with me right now. And what's happening in September is Dan Brown's new book. His movie, just Angels and Demons, just came out. I saw mm-hmm. it, and I really liked it.
Okay, really?
But he has a new book coming out about Robert Langdon on an adventure in Washington, D.C., and apparently Langdon discovers that Washington, D.C. is nothing but a monument to Freemasonry. And so hopefully when that comes out, I'll be able to have a narrative of Shriner's Shame out that's more understandable and more kind of like how I'm talking to you now, but how I would write it. Because, you know, his stuff is fiction and mine is not.
Well, that's right, and I'm trying to find the name right here now, but a lot of this has been written about by a Mason called, I'm trying to get the name here, who wrote about Washington, D.C. This was even featured in a film called Monuments in Stone or something like that. Give me a second here, I'll bring this up.
Sure,
Let's see here. I'm just going to do a quick short search and we can just...
But see, I can tell that you're feeling this synergy that's happening right here, mm-hmm. that all this is kind of happening and coming together kind of like, well, a simultaneous orgasm kind of deal, you know, where, well, hey, what better way to explain it? You know, sex cells, what the hell?
That's right. Let's see here. I know that he is he joined the Masons later on. He basically discovered that there were 86 different astrological outlines in Washington D.C. alone, and I think that a lot of the stuff that Dan Brown is picking up on has been from these types of sources. So there is studies being done on this but again, that's not the mainstream really. That's not the stuff that really sells. But it's out there, and the information. It's available. I'm going to add a link later on to that information. But it just shows as well that...
That there's a collective consciousness, and that some of us are thinking about ways, and it's like you and me talking now, like, okay, you get it. And there's other things that you are discovering through your fabulous website. And, you know, I'm going to tell everybody I know about what you're doing. You're architects of the universe. I mean, these guys are the puppet masters. What we're talking about are these architects of the universe, these guys who think that they're the masters of creation, mm-hmm. that they're superior and they're better than and they're above the law and they can do all these things because they have this strange sense of superiority.
Yeah,
and it's like, hello, no, doesn't work like that. We're kind of like one tribe on planet Earth, and if we don't get our stuff together here real quick, you know, there's a good chance that we're just going to go poof.
But what about the new ways of communication in regards to the web and all that? Because again, you mentioned media blackout before, that has been the primary problem in one sense, but I guess you just set up your website through an online service. The Newswine is a free kind of service where you can post your stuff. Is that how it worked? And do you feel that's beneficial to what you do?
Right. Newsvine was started by executives from ESPN and Disney who wanted a new way of news delivery for the citizen journalist. And I signed up in 06 and I've been writing there ever since. Now the bad part, and I don't know how many journalists you know who got rejection letters from the Pulitzer Committee, but I got one because I submitted this year for the Pulitzer. I spent $100 and spent a week on this entry. And I got, the head guy got a hold of me and he said, Newsvine is too aggregate. It's not original. So I'm also looking for an online home. Next year I can enter for the Pulitzer again. That is more original. I am an online journalist. I've helped pioneer the genre. I've been doing it since 2001. I'm also a great headline writer. I've been a journalist since I was 13. I've got what I call printer's ink in my blood, and it's a calling. As you know, you have a calling and you're answering it, and I'm sure people look at you and shake their head and go, oh, what's wrong with you?
Well, some are, but yeah. I'm interested in the ones who get it as well. And again, this is all about just beginning and spreading the word, because again, there's always, I think, one area that people are finding their way in through, if you know what I mean, meaning that it's one area that interests them that could be secret societies or conspiracies, right, or the more spiritual stuff which is related to the right. New Age and whatnot. But that's just a way right. in to kind of open yourself up to a larger reality, pretty much. And that's what I'm hoping that this work helps to do, to bring some of this information to the forefront and to the surface. Because again, there's so much out there. And on that note, I want to mention that the author I was thinking about before is called David Ovason. He's written a book about this where he actually goes into all the zodiacs in Washington, D.C. And again, this is information that is out there and it's getting to the surface all the time. And I'm very excited about that, you know?
Oh, me too.
And in regards to, let's go back, Sam, a little bit more to the remote viewing aspect to this. When you were doing this, did you find that it was something that was easy for you in regards to your intuitive abilities? How did you think that it was working? Were you successful in the trials that you did and so forth?
When I was doing some of my RV work, I'd be wandering around the house and go, gosh, I need this document. And literally, I would look on the floor and there it would be. Information comes to me. And again, I live so differently. I am so fortunate and I'm so thankful for my husband. We've been together almost 30 years and he has supported me and he's allowed me to do this. You know, not by saying, even when our kids were still home, I started writing and I would talk to them about this stuff and even some UFO stuff. You know, I went to see a guy named Robert Morningsky who talked about man's extraterrestrial origins mm-hmm. in terms of the Anunnaki coming down to Sumeria. In fact, I met Zachariah Sitchin. I have books signed by him. And this actually could be the origins of Masonry. Because if you think about it, when the Anunnaki came, or whoever came down, according to Sitchin and Morningsky, and many, many others, who built the temples for the gods?
Mm.
The stonemasons.
Yeah.
They had the divine math. They knew physics. They knew all this stuff. And you look at all in Mesopotamia and poof, there was Sumeria. Math, agriculture, physics, banking, all these things out of nowhere. And so this is my theory, as strange as it is, that is the origins of Masonry way back then. And these guys thought they had all this sacred geometry and all this magic knowledge from the Anunnaki, and that's why they were killed. Because I would think that after they learned all this sacred information from the creator gods, they'd be killed because they didn't want to tell them anybody. So they got together and formed this little thing, the Freemasons, and, you know, they kept very quiet because they just kind of wanted to survive.
Hmm.
And they thought they were really super special because they had this information from, say, the Anunnaki that they safeguarded, and that's why they're stonecutters.
Well, that's a theme that certainly has been coming up. You know, we've covered this a lot on many different programs in regards to the origins of this knowledge and how far back it actually goes. And in one degree, I think it's definitely something interesting. It's definitely something there. And at the same time, you have this mythological idea that that many of these people or the Masons themselves might want to have this kind of mythology in their own background, in a sense, to make it even more powerful, if you know what I mean, to prop it up, to say that, oh, it's actually in one sense a divine origin of this stuff.
Sure.
But I'm not decided for one or the other at this point. It's just interesting hearing about different perspectives. But in that regard, do you think that if we talk more about the Anunnaki, then that they came here for the maybe not why they came here, that's another discussion, but do you think that it's a malevolent or a benevolent agenda that they had when they got here?
Well, I think that according to what Sitchin has found, the Sumerian carvings indicate that Ninsurhag, the sister of Enki and Enlil, created the atom, and that's why there's a missing link. And so we were created initially to be like slaves because I guess they needed gold for their atmospheric processors, and we were on one of the trade routes. So people talk about Tiamat and them coming back, and maybe that's what this 2012 thing is, you know, that it's not going to be so much a cataclysm as, you know, people are, or individuals may be coming back to this planet to get that which they created, which is us. Mm-hmm. And so there is a divine spark in us. And so right now I think that what we're seeing in terms of the human evolution is that are we going to be able to evolve to survive and become part of, say, a galactic brotherhood, or are we going to blow ourselves up because of our animal self and our territorial self? Mm. And so if you look at what I'm doing and look at what so many others are doing, like yourself and your brother, in terms of raising the consciousness and awareness and having hope, you know, we just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that as you and I are speaking, that people are listening and they're going, yeah, she sounds kind of crazy, but hey, so does he, but maybe there's something to this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the most important thing. I think I'm going to go
it's
way out here.
Oh, no, it's... Oh, okay. Go ahead. Proceed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was at a remote viewing conference. It was put on by Lynn Buchanan in Clearwater, Florida, and there was this Virgin Mary burned into the side of this glass building, and there was a crucifix there. And I went with some of these remote viewers, and we were in the pool the next night, and they were saying, oh, well, you know, we were at this place. And I said, no, we weren't. And they said, yeah, we were. We were there and you were walking around. I said, no. And so they went back and there was this huge crucifix there and he just creeped me out. And so I thought, because I'm not really a Christian. Mm-hmm. But this crucifix was there. And so we went back a third time and I had a roommate with me, Bambi. And Bambi knew something was going on. And I looked at the crucifix and she said, Sandy, what's happening? And the crucifix started breathing. And then I had conscious contact, I guess, with the Christ energy, and I had the thought, have no fear, fear nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the ultimate message, and I think I see you as the same type of individual who has no fear, who is out there doing what you believe, that which is passionate to you and your brother and to your supporters and your subscribers and to everybody else that you're going to affect in a positive and negative way because there is balance.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is to not have any fear. And it is fear that will kill us. I'm scared they're going to attack us. I'm scared I'm going to get the swine flu. Modern media today is nothing but a body count.
That's right.
I'm on the board of the Society of Professional Journalists here in the Western Washington professional chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And the state of our industry right now is just going down the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's because of the internet and I'm not sure what's going on, but this goes back to that media blackout, that what I have to say, the news that I create on my news site, is something so uncomfortable and so horrific and so outside of anybody's realm of possibility that they just don't want to believe what I have done.
That's right. Yeah, but that's the initial response often that you get when it's in one regard exposing something or groundbreaking or peering into new areas, that it will be neglected or you know, people won't have the courage to look at it, basically. But again, it's just I feel that you need to keep on doing what it is that you're doing and have the same idea that you mentioned to me without any fear, because that's the best way to get it out. And again, if that's in the spirit of where we need to go, I think that will be it will come to the surface more and more, and it will be brought up even actually eventually in mainstream media. But again, I don't sit around and wait for them in regards to that as they're going to be the final kind of recognition to all this. I feel that we need to chug away and do what we're doing anyway, regardless of what they're doing. For all we know, it could be kind of the slow death of the mainstream media that we're seeing and witnessing right now, because they only will touch upon entertainment stuff. They only will touch upon very, very kind of superficial things. And I think that generally more and more people want to have the real stuff. They want to know, you know, what's really going on behind the surface. And so I'm very, very positive, actually. And I don't feel any, negative side to what we can see in the world. And I'm very positive that we will make it. Just as you talked about before, you know, we could end up in a situation where possibly crumble in that sense, but I don't see it, not yet. We have more to give.
I'm so excited. I am so excited to hear you say all of this, and I'm so honored and so thankful that we are talking and having this discussion, because here we are, half a world apart, you know, completely different people, but we're singing the same song. Mm-hmm. We're dancing to the same music, and there are so many others of us out there that it does take the courage and no fear, but we have a common intention, and that is for the healing, and that is for the perpetuation of us as a peaceful, and it sounds so goofy, but the John Lennon song Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you know, we are one people, we are on one planet, and again, back to the medicine wheel, if we look at the different directions and the different colors as the different races, if one race is eliminated or out of balance, the wheel, our survival is done. And that's why it is so important that I feel this strong, strong passion to give voice to the voiceless, and that does include those little girls in Brazil. I may never meet them. I may never meet those illegal alien prostitutes who were taken into custody and processed through some type of system where the word prostitute overshadows the word victim.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think that you're doing what you can do about it in that sense, instead of which I feel many people are also doing. When they hear about this stuff, they sit around and feel sorry about it. But the important thing is to spread the information about it, I feel, to help the flow of information so more and more people can be aware. This idea of what can you call it? Like the own little intelligence network that people begin to build once they're aware of what is going on really behind the closed door, so to speak, either if it's being what we're talking about here in regards to the gestures and whatnot. But the more people that are aware about this stuff, the more I feel that they will have their eyes open. And if they do have their eyes open, this is what will prevent that too, you know, because too many people are shutting off all the time, and they're shutting off their awareness about this.
Perceptions.
Their perception about
this,
you know. So again, it isn't that we need to all the time run around and warn people all the time or tell how bad everyone else is in regards to these groups and whatnot. The information about this needs to get out, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is that the most important thing that I think we can do is just all be aware of our own surrounding and our own kind of circumference around ourselves, because if we recognize this or spot this, so to speak, in regards to our own lives, and point it out and expose it in that sense, then none of this would be possible, right? But that's not the case right now. You know what I mean?
Well, I, I believe that when you were talking about abuse and healing and we got into some dysfunction stuff, I believe instead of turning outside for answers, again, I'm not a joiner, and I don't want to join a group to tell me anything. But ultimately, where I think people might want to consider going is to look for the answers within ourselves. Because we have our own little gyroscope and our own little sense of balance of what is right and what is wrong, which is exactly what you're talking about.
That's right. No, I couldn't agree more. I think that's very healthy. And again, it's not about, you know, signing up for some agenda or some kind of you know, common thing. As you said before, it's really we don't need to go in and join anything else. We are already one on one planet. In that sense, we're already united, you know. So what's the purpose of secluding yourself from someone else or locking yourself away from everyone else in that sense?
Oh, right. Well, one article I did write was about Hunter S. Thompson, the Shriners and the 12 Steps for Shriners Anonymous. When I talked about these guys being political junkies and getting over that addiction, I think ultimately when we were trying to figure out a sociopathological type of analysis here, I think that maybe it could be boiled down to addictions, where some people may be addicted to diet soda, or some people might be addicted to running. I think in these cases, some of these people might be addicted to a perception of power.
Yeah.
And one thing about the Shriners, which really kind of bothers me, and please don't take offense because you're a male, but I mean, their terms are potentate, and they seem to be very penis oriented.
Well, they are. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
I mean, what kind of group do you want to join? And these guys just sit around thinking about their dicks all the time.
Well, again, look at some of the symbolism. Again, you know, if we go back to Washington D.C., you know, and the obelisk there, it's a big phallus symbol. This is something that it actually is reflected in many of the esoteric doctrines as well. In that sense, a lot of symbols are, and I mean, people have pointed out what a skyscraper is. It's a big phallus, you know, in that sense. So it's a very, very, I think you're right there in that sense. It's a very, very masculine oriented and structured right now society, because it has been built primarily by males, you know, and the masculine type of mentality in that sense. So what needs to take place in that regard, I very much agree with, is a balancing of both the feminine and the masculine. And it's really not
that
hard.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And so, again, you know, to see these guys and read about how they're taking advantage of these women in these different situations, it's just not right. And you can look at it from, like I said, I don't know if you have a little sister, you know. I mean, earlier you were talking about the pathological behavior of the pedophiliac, where one of the ways I get my news is, you know, when you're a reporter, you have a beat, and you follow your police beat, fashion beat, entertainment beat, city beat, you know, whatever. Mm. And so I do it through Google Alerts, and I put in these words like child sex tourism or whoever I'm watching, or Shriners or Royal Order Jesters, and that's how I find out what's going on through my email and these little alerts.
Yep.
Oh, it's, I just don't know.
Well, I think that we're if we begin to round things up here, Sandy, for this time, that we're what the work that you're doing is very, very important, and I certainly hope that you will continue for as long as you can. I do want to talk a little bit more about your book in regards to helping out more financially. I guess that people can get a copy of your ebook right now. Is that correct? To get, and that will help you a little bit in your research.
Sure.
Is that right?
Right. And what I'm trying to do now is, again, boil down into a very conversational narrative way, like you and I have been talking, a book that actually describes all of this. And what I'm actually going to be waiting for is Judge Tills is supposed to be sentenced on August 7th. And here we have a former New York State Supreme Justice of the Court being sentenced for violating the Mann Act, and his testimony has led to the proactive investigation of sex trafficking and the sexual abuse of minors and international travel for those purposes. Mm. And for people to wrap their heads around this, they shake their heads and they go, and they can't understand it or they don't want to believe it. But that's what we have here, a certain level of American society, a certain, the rich, powerful, and famous in this group, the Royal Order of Jesters. And like I said, the U.S. attorney has talked about how these courts have a guy who gets the prostitutes for their weekend parties. So that's what we're looking at here.
Mm, very, very good. And again, we'd love to have you back, Sandy, once your new book is out and help you to talk more about that and dive into maybe some of the things that we didn't have time for this time. And again, this story will develop further along here. So we'll definitely going to keep an eye on it, keep an eye on your writing, and please feel free to contact me at any point if there's some developments on the story, okay?
Oh, you'll be the first. And I want to commend you and Red Eyes Creations. You guys are visionaries. You're sensitives and you're gifted, and I love what you're doing and I support it. And I want to thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you very much. Again, the website I want to mention, sandyfrost.newsvine.com, and we will have this, of course, up on our website, redeyescreations.com. Head on over there, check it out, read some of this material. Very important and very interesting, of course. Sandy, again, thank you very much for coming on. We will talk more soon, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this interesting program with Sandy Frost, and thank you for being a member. My thanks to Fredrik. Take good care, and we will talk more soon.